White stars form almost a complete circle around the peak of a mountain. Paramount. A Viacom company. A painting is cracked with age. Icon Productions. A cigarette is put out in a full ashtray. A man puts on latex gloves over a dirty sink. He opens a bottle of whiskey and pours a full glass. As he drinks the entire glass, some of it dribbles down his chin. He pours more whiskey into the glass and drops surgical instruments into it. He sets the glass next to a man lying on a table on his stomach with blood on his face and pours more whiskey on the man's back.
GSW. That's what the hospitals call it. Gunshot wound. Doctor has to report it to the police. That makes it hard for guys in my line to get what I'd call quality health care.
The man takes a bullet out of the wounded man's back. He drops it into the glass of whiskey.
Not many men know what their life's worth. I do. 70 grand. That's what they took from me. And that's what I was gonna get back.
The man is stitching up his back. A bridge spans across a city skyline. The man with the gunshot wound is walking along the bridge. He's wearing a suit with an untucked shirt. A subway car pulls into a station. He jumps over a turnstile inside the subway station.
They say time heals all wounds. And you'd think after 5 months of lying on my back, I would have given up any idea of getting even. Just be a nice guy, call it a day.
He walks out of the subway.
Nice guys are fine. You gotta have someone to take advantage of. But they always finish last.
Payback. A barefoot man sits on the sidewalk. An upturned hat between his legs has money in it.
Help a cripple. Thank you, sir. Help a Vietnam vet walk again.
The wounded man walks by and grabs money out of the hat.
Help a cripple. Thank you, sir.
Hey, what are you doing, huh?
Shut up. I cured you.
The barefoot man gets up, but the wounded man grabs him by the throat and pushes him down. Later, the wounded man is in a diner.
What do I owe you?
$2.98.
He's smoking a cigarette as he takes out some cash. The waitress picks up his $3. He takes 2 cents off the counter next to him, and the waitress shakes her head.
Hey, take my cigarettes!
On the street, he leans against a pole and watches people walk by. He approaches a man walking toward him, then bumps into him.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me.
He walks away with a man's wallet. Later, in a grimy bathroom, the pickpocket wipes his shirt with a wet paper towel, then ties his tie and buttons his jacket. The name on the driver's license from the stolen wallet is Edward Johnson. He looks at the picture on the license, then looks in the mirror, trying in vain to smile like the man in the photo. Later, a bank teller takes the license and looks at him.
Thank you.
She counts out cash.
$100. $200. Have a nice day, Mr. Johnson.
In a clothing store.
Excellent fit, sir. And how will you be paid?
He hands the clerk a credit card from the wallet. In a jewelry store, he signs a credit card slip and takes three watches. Later, he's in a pawn shop looking at guns. A man behind the counter looks at one of the watches and knocks on the counter.
Hi, Steph. I'll give you $900 for this.
Let me see that magnum.
The man behind the counter takes the watches and points to a gun.
That's it.
He passes the gun to him. The pickpocket examines it and spins the cylinder. He spins the gun around on his finger and puts it on the counter.
$500 in the gun.
I'll need to see some ID.
Of course.
He puts the wallet on the counter. Later, he's in a restaurant counting out cash next to a plate from a steak dinner. He puts the money in his pocket and smokes a cigarette. A waiter walks to the table.
I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson. This card's been canceled.
Impossible.
Well, I tried it twice. Do you have another form of payment?
Try it again.
The waiter walks away. The pickpocket puts out his cigarette, wipes his mouth with a napkin, and leaves. Later, he's smoking a cigarette and waiting in the shadows outside an apartment building. He watches as a woman walks unsteadily toward the building. She drops her keys, slowly picks them up, and continues to stagger toward the building. The pickpocket frowns and steps back into the shadows. The woman walks into the building smoking a cigarette. As she wobbles down the hallway, the straps from one of her high-heeled shoes are hanging loose. She drops her cigarette on the floor and walks into an apartment.
Old habits die hard, I guess. If you don't kick them, they kick you.
The pickpocket steps on her cigarette.
Ain't marriage grand?
He kicks in the door and it hits the woman on the other side. She slumps to the floor. He looks around the apartment with his gun drawn. Then he walks back to the woman.
Porter, you're not dead. What are you gonna do? Kill me?
He puts his gun away. Then carries her to the bedroom. And lays her down. He sits down next to her on the bed. And opens a wooden music box on a nightstand. A hypodermic needle is inside the box. The woman rolls over, grabs the box, and holds it tightly to her chest. He tries to take the box from her, but she moves it out of his reach.
Not now.
Yeah. You're cleaning up.
He takes the box and gets up. He leaves the bedroom and locks the door from the outside. Later, he's in the shower. The woman is sitting in her closet. She picks up a platform shoe and slides open the sole. A hypodermic needle is hidden inside. Porter turns in the shower and there are two small scars on his upper back. Later, he's asleep on a couch. He wakes up and goes into the bedroom. He sees the shoe with a hidden compartment. The woman is lying lifeless on the bed. He stabs the syringe into the wall with his wedding band hanging on it. Then, he lies down next to her on the bed. He gently moves the hair from her face.
Bastian wants to talk to you.
Porter is remembering.
Sorry, babe. Shall I tell him to call back again?
No, I'll talk to him. Shut him up anyway.
Val. Yeah, same as always. You? Yeah, good, good. What, you there now? Well, don't sweat it, Val. I mean, we all look alike to them.
Later, Porter and Val are in Chinatown.
Same crew. And chows. Twice a week, Tuesday and Friday. Always between 11 and 12. Always the same route. Chinese money laundering.
A man is carrying a briefcase.
How much money in the case?
Anywhere between 350 and half a mil.
The man with the case gets into the back of a car with other men.
And how much do you need, Val?
We split it 50-50.
No, I mean, how much do you need to, you know, buy your way back?
Val looks at him.
Into the syndicate. How much?
I mean, the outfit.
Whatever.
You know everything.
A little girl walks by.
Hi, sweetie.
130 grand.
A black car with the men and the briefcase inside drives past them into an alley.
The beauty of their chows is they won't go to the cops. They keep everything in-house. And they don't feel pain the way we do.
You notice anything about those guys, Val?
They look nasty. Probably all kung fu master fighters. Why? Did I miss something?
They weren't wearing their seat belts.
He takes a drag on his cigarette.
We'll hit them on Friday.
On Friday, Porter is speeding down the alley. He and Val are harnessed into the car, and Porter puts in a mouth guard. A black car pulls into the alley toward Porter and Val. Porter keeps his foot on the gas, heading toward the other car. The cars collide head-on. Porter's mouth guard drops to the ground and he gets out of the car with a pair of bolt cutters. The men in the front seat of the black car are unconscious. Porter smashes a back window of the black car as Val gets out of his seat. Porter cuts the chain that goes from the case to one of the men's wrists.
cookie here.
One of them into the front seat starts to come to, but Val bangs his head repeatedly on the dash. Porter's wife pulls up.
How's that final taste?
Porter's wife slides to the passenger seat.
Daddy brought home the bacon, baby.
He gives her the case and gets behind the wheel. Val kicks the man in the head.
Val!
What?
Porter motions for Val to get in the car. Val takes off his coveralls and gets in the front seat next to Porter's wife.
Problem with kicking a child's face? There's an hour later, you want to do it again?
Porter backs up until he's out of the alley. Inside an old warehouse, Porter takes the cover off of a sports car while his wife counts the money.
140 grand.
140 apiece.
Total.
Total?
Porter takes a bag out of the sports car.
That's what? That's 70 grand? That's not enough.
It's for me. I'm taking the next few months off. Here's the bag, baby.
Yeah, well, I'm up short. 60 short. Freaking chows! Should have hit him Tuesday. Ah!
We got away clean. And got something to show for it. Always be grateful for what you get. Rule number one, Val.
Yeah. Yeah, rule number one.
Porter looks Val up and down.
What? Everything's cool. It's just not enough, all right?
Never is, Val. Hey, baby, just put the money in the car, will you?
She walks to the car with the bag.
Freaking believe it. We should. You know what? You know what, Porter? This is funny. This will kill you. It's always 140.
Porter's wife is pointing a gun at Porter.
Someone ought to give me a PhD.
Porter reaches for his gun, but Lynn shoots and he falls to the floor.
Lynn, wait, I'm out of the freaking way!
Val runs behind a pillar.
Okay. Everything's cool, baby.
Val walks out from behind the pillar. And kicks Porter's gun away.
You are great.
He walks toward Lynn.
Everything's cool. Give me the gun. Okay. 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 Keep the gun. That's it. Everything's cool. Just like we planned. Come on. Don't fall apart on me now.
He helps Lynn into the sports car.
There we go.
Val goes to the briefcase, closes it, and picks it up.
Oh, I bet you got a lot of questions rattling around in your head.
He walks to Porter. He shows him a photo.
Lynn did not understand. I don't know, Pally. I guess wives get funny when it comes to girlfriends. Huh.
The photo is of Porter with a blonde woman.
What?
Val throws the photo down.
I didn't get that.
He puts a cigarette out in Porter's blood.
You got it.
Then kicks him. Porter lies on the floor as they drive away. In the present, Porter is lying next to Lynn. He gets up.
Come on, Miss Porter, I don't have all day.
Porter looks through a peephole. A young man with a hoop ring in his nose is at the door.
Is Miss Porter here?
Mrs. Porter.
Yeah, whatever.
Porter throws him into the apartment. He takes a gun away from him and punches him in the stomach.
Get up, Turner. Get up.
Porter frisks him.
Got here. Huh?
He takes an envelope and a small bag from his pocket.
How much in here, huh?
$2,000.
Now, what's in here?
Helium.
What you freaking think it is? It's heroin.
Porter hits him again and he slides to the floor.
Oh, man.
Val Resnick. Where is he?
You wonder where he is? It's right here, look.
He waves his hand.
Forget you.
Wrong answer.
Porter yanks the ring out of the young man's nose.
What are you doing to me?
Val Resnick.
I never heard of him, man.
Well, where'd you get the envelope and the skank?
Oh, come on, man. They're gonna freaking kill me, man. They're gonna kill me.
Porter points the gun at his forehead.
What do you think I'm gonna do? Worry about me.
Oh, come on. Okay. Stegman, man. Arthur freaking Stegman, okay?
Where is he?
South of Taxi. Farragut Road, man.
Porter puts the gun down.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
This is a man's world!
Later, a subway goes by and Porter climbs a set of stairs.
This is a man's world! But it wouldn't be nothing.
He opens the door to South End Taxi and walks in. A dispatcher sits behind the counter.
I'm looking for Arthur Stegman.
He ain't here. Something I can help you with?
No, you can't. Where is he?
I don't know. He ain't here.
Take a guess.
What?
Take a guess about where he is.
The dispatcher picks up a newspaper and begins to read. Porter pulls the paper away from the dispatcher's face.
Is he at home?
The dispatcher stands.
Why don't you go screw yourself?
All right, here we go.
Men are rolling dice.
Hey, come on, roll it. Wait a minute, that was mine.
I get one more shot. The dispatcher walks in holding the side of his head.
There's somebody here to see you.
Porter is in the doorway.
I'm looking for Stegman.
The dispatcher has blood on the side of his head.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Porter.
Well, Porter, that looks like assault to me.
He shows a police badge.
Porter looks to me like the kind that likes to resist arrest.
Another man shows a badge and Porter reaches into his pocket.
Hey!
No, not in here. Jeez, guys, he wants to talk. Am I right? Did I call it?
Are you Stegman?
Maybe. What do you want?
Your boy didn't make his delivery.
He throws the heroin on the table.
Whoa, Artie.
Hey, listen, don't worry about it, guy. Why don't we talk outside?
Artie, you're a dealer?
Just forget about it, all right? And don't touch my money either. Come on, what?
This is heroin?
The other officer tastes it.
This is heroin.
Guys, just don't worry about it, all right? Just take it easy. Let's talk. Come on. Hey, what are you guys looking at? Play your game. And you're bleeding all over my couch. Come on, you. Come on.
Porter follows Stegman out.
Steggy's been holding out on us.
Let's check it out.
Porter and Stegman are outside.
Val Resnick.
What about him?
You're going to tell me where he is.
No. Even if I knew, the answer would still be no. Now, where'd you meet up with my delivery boy?
At his drop.
Is he dead?
No, but she is OD'd on that crap you've been sending her.
So? What do you care?
I'm her husband.
You're not gonna friggin' kill me, are you?
Porter looks at him. Children are playing nearby.
Not in front of these kids. Where is he?
Stegman sees one of the officers watching them from a window.
I don't know. That's the truth. You see, this stuff gets delivered to me too, you know, last night. And I won't see anyone again till next month.
Why all the trouble?
Well, he's afraid of the girl, you know. I mean, of Mrs. Porter. I mean, that's how it looks to me.
He looks up at the window.
Look, I don't know nothing about this, okay? I know Val from the old days. 3 months ago, he shows up, he asks me to do him a favor. I make an extra grand a month, so I figure, what the hell, right? Now, you come around threatening to kill me? Believe me, that much a buddy of Val's, I am not. He's in the city. That's it. That's all I know. I got a game going on in here.
How do you know that?
He said so.
When?
When he came around. Said that he squared himself with the syndicate, said he was back in the big time, back for good. He was very excited.
Well, you tell him that Porter is back, too. And he wants his money. Porter wants his money. I'll come back here and pay you a visit when these kids are not around.
Well,
Porter walks away.
Well, when would I tell him this?
A taxi pulls up to a hotel. A woman with a long fingernail rings the bell at the front desk.
Talk to me.
There's a young lady to see you, sir. Her name is Pearl.
She's got two very bad habits. Right now, I'm only interested in one of them. Send her up.
Val hangs up.
Apartment 718, ma'am. Go right in.
Pearl walks onto the elevator as men in the lobby watch her.
Send her up. What's the problem?
Hey, Val, it's Haskell. Sorry to be calling you home, but I thought
I'd... sorry, sweetie. Just don't call.
Well, I thought it might be important. I got a call from a cab guy out in the south end.
What is it?
Well, it's this guy, Stegman.
Hold on a second.
Val walks to the door. And Pearl slaps him.
On your knees, Val. I want satisfaction.
Phone, Pearl. Make it quick, huh?
Well, anyhow, this guy's dead. He sounded all nervous. He sounded like something scared out of him. He said he had to talk to you. I said I'd see what I could do, Val.
Yeah, did he tell you what it was about?
He said to tell you Lynn was dead. He said some guy came around talking mean and wanted you. And that's all he said. I thought you ought to know.
Yeah, you did right. I want to talk to that son of a gun.
Who, Stegman?
No, President Nixon. Of course, Stegman. Tell him, Varick's by the bridge. Make it, make it 20 minutes, huh? Can't you see I'm working here?
She motions for him to come closer. But when he does, she punches him.
Can't you see I'm working here?
In a bar.
Put it on my tab.
I'm looking for a girl. She goes by the name of Rosie. Here's a picture of her. Do you know her?
He shows the photo that Val left him.
She worked by telephone, wouldn't be freelance, probably connected with the syndicate.
Out of my league. I wouldn't know her.
Maybe you know somebody who would.
He puts some cash on the table.
What are you looking for?
Brother, I got cancer. I want to see her one last time. You know how it is.
She nods and looks at the picture.
Yeah, you two look close. Got a cigarette?
He hands her a cigarette.
Sister sounds expensive. Try Michael, bartender at the Regal Hotel.
She tries to take the money.
That wasn't the name I was looking for.
The only one I got.
She grabs a $100 bill and he takes the other end. He lets her have it, takes the rest, and walks away. Val walks into Varick's, where Stegman is already at a table.
Steggy.
Hey, Val, you know, I tried to call you, but you must have changed your number again, because I got nothing.
Never gave you my original number, Steg. What did this guy look like?
Well, he had, like, dark hair, blue eyes. He was like a real Cro-Magnon-looking beast. You know?
Flynn's dead. Maybe he did us a favor, huh?
I know what you mean, except I'm out like a grand a month.
You know, well, maybe we can work something out. Did you get a name?
He said his name was Porter.
Oh. He said he was there for Porter?
No, he said he was Porter. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I wouldn't want that guy after me either. I know how you must feel.
What am I? A nobody?
No.
I've got friends. All I have to do is point. I pick up a phone, say his name, and he's a dead man. This time he stays dead.
All right, Val, try to keep it down, all right? It's okay.
What did he say about me?
Nothing. He just said you owed him money.
Now why? Nothing else?
Nothing. Well, how much you owe?
None of your freaking business.
I just, you know, I got the feeling he'd like to kill you, that's all.
He looks at Stegman.
What?
What'd you tell him?
Nothing. What could I tell him?
You told him about the money? The heroin?
He had it with him. I told him I delivered it.
You didn't tell him nothing else?
I don't know nothing else.
Nah, you gave him some. A name, maybe, someone who knows where to find me.
I swear, Val, on my mother, I
forget your mother.
A man looks at them.
Hey, that's not nice. Now, Troy, why don't you just...
What are you looking at?
Well, don't. Come on.
Huh?
Not again. Don't do that.
What are you looking at? Come on. What are you looking at? Huh?
Val, come on. Don't. Not again. Come on. Just forget it.
There's some trouble here?
No, you know what? We're leaving. You know what, Val? This one's on me, okay?
You see me reaching for my freaking wallet?
No. Sorry. He just got a promotion, so he's a little tense.
Porter is at a bar.
Hey, pal, is there a Michael here?
That's him over yonder.
Michael, I'm told you're the man to see about expensive horizontal refreshment. I'm looking for a girl named Rosie.
Prostitution is illegal. And you're speaking Greek.
Porter takes out money.
Usually these matters are conducted with more discretion.
Porter slams the hinged bar top down on Michael's hand.
Be discreet now.
What was her name again?
Rosie.
And who should I say is looking for?
Just call her.
Rosie?
Yeah.
Give me the phone.
He takes the bar top off the man's hand.
Care of that.
He gives him some money.
Rosie.
Who the hell is this?
Porter.
Try again, honey. Porter's dead.
I used to drive for you. Provide a safe work environment.
Porter?
Yeah.
It's nighttime. As Porter puts out a cigarette and walks to a building.
Why pour salt on old wounds? I didn't need to. I guess I had a soft spot for her.
Rosie opens the door of her apartment, runs to Porter in the hall, and hugs him.
You look pretty good for a dead guy.
He follows her into an apartment.
How'd you hear about it?
People will know we're talking. Plus, I heard your wife is back in town alone.
She hands him a bottle of beer.
She's dead.
I'm sorry, Porter.
Why?
Jeez. Surly Porter. You're the same as ever, aren't you?
He looks around the well-furnished apartment.
This doesn't look like you.
Yeah, well, people change.
A dog walks out.
Stay. It's okay, baby. It's okay. Come on, sweetheart. It's okay.
I'll meet the nastiest damn dog who ever lived.
What's his name?
Porter. He took your job after you left. He's just as tough, but he won't leave me, will you, baby? Mwah.
I need a favor.
A favor? Maybe you're not the same as ever.
She lights a cigarette.
I'm looking for a syndicate boy.
It's the outfit, baby. We don't say syndicate anymore.
Well, you know what I mean. Whatever the hell you call it.
Don't get touchy, Porter. What's his name?
Val Resnick.
Old Resnick.
She starts arranging flowers.
You know?
Yeah. I met up with him once a few years ago. He can't use Star's service anymore because he beats up all the girls. He almost killed one.
You?
She turns back toward him.
Does it matter? You quit looking after me, remember?
Oh, would you happen to have a line on where he might be?
I suppose he's at the hotel.
Which one?
The Outfit Hotel. They're all there.
You got an address?
We're friends, right? I mean, we used to be. But I'm an employee, too, and I don't think the Alpha would like me telling you where the hotel was, would they?
No. What do you think about
it? How strong are you, Porter? Personally, I think you are the strongest man I've ever met. But I wonder if it's enough.
For what?
If I know you, you want this Resnick guy for something he won't like.
Yeah, I'm gonna kill him.
She nods.
What if something goes wrong and they grab you and they ask you where you found out about the hotel?
Well, why are we even talking about this? You know, I wouldn't turn you in. I wouldn't talk about who told me what.
But what if they ask you hard?
I'll tell them it was a cab dispatcher named Stegman.
She shakes her head.
The Oakwood Arms Union in 17th.
Later, Porter is inside the hotel, smoking a cigarette in the dark. He's watching Val and Pearl as they sleep. Val wakes up.
Hi, Val. Where's my money?
Val reaches to the nightstand and the radio comes on.
No, it's not there. I took your gun. It's back here.
He points to Pearl.
You look like a pro. You keep your mouth shut and you'll walk out of here. My 70 grand. I want it.
I don't have it right now.
Where is it?
Well, I gave all $130,000 to the outfit. I gave it all to them.
Well, tell him you gave him money that doesn't belong to you and get it back.
Well, Porter, I can't do that. I mean, you don't know these guys.
Porter points the gun at him.
You're going to kill me whether I get the money or not.
Noon. Tomorrow. Say it.
This may sound crazy, Porter, but no hard feelings, huh? I did what I had to do. You can appreciate that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You.
No.
He raises his hand to Val.
Noon, 7th and Franklin.
Philip tells me you have a problem you need help with.
Yes, sir.
Val is talking to a man.
Is it your problem who breached our security last night at the Oakwood?
Yes, sir. Then he breaks into my apartment.
There's an old expression that has served me well. Do not squat where you eat. or live.
Do not squat where you live. Yeah, I like that better.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carter.
There are three ways that we can handle this. One, we can help you. Two, we can allow you to help yourself. And three, we can have you replaced.
A man walks behind Val's chair.
We have an investment in you, Resnick, of time, money, and training. So, assisting you would be, in a way, protecting our investment. And that is always good business policy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Carter. Thank you, sir. You won't regret it.
Carter sits on the edge of his desk.
Now, according to Philip, a man has come to town to kill you?
Yes, sir.
And you say that he's alone and that he's a professional robber. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. He does payroll jobs, banks, you know, stuff like that.
What's his name?
Porter.
Well, what's his first name?
Carter rubs lip balm into his lips.
You know, I don't know. He never called himself anything but Porter.
Carter closes the lip balm, and a man brings him a finger towel.
Where did you get the $130,000?
Val smiles nervously.
That's why this man has come to town, huh? The $130,000 that you paid us back?
Yes, sir. But only $70,000 of it was his.
Well, we never asked you where you got the money. It was none of our business. But now it appears it has become our business.
Here's the file, Mr. Carter.
Carter looks at the file.
Do you understand your value to the organization, Resnick? You're a sadist. You lack compunction. That comes in handy. But now you've allowed an area of your personal life to become a danger to us. A man in our organization needs to be tough, self-reliant. Were you to handle this problem on your own, there would be no doubt that you're the kind of man we want.
I want to. I want to handle it myself, Mr. Carter.
Great. Until the matter is handled, I want you to move out to the Oakwood Arms.
But I don't have a place,
I don't want any more unpleasantness at the hotel.
Yes, sir.
Val leaves.
Excuse me for saying so, Mr. Carter, but it might be easier if Resnick just disappeared.
I thought about that. But I'm not worried about Resnick. He wouldn't last 2 minutes out on the street without us. It's that other mutt I'm thinking about. What's his name?
Porter.
It takes a lot of moxie to walk right into the outfit and start wagging our guys around.
Either that or he's just nuts.
Frankly, I don't understand it for $130,000.
It was $70,000. His share.
That's even worse. I don't want Mr. Bronson hearing about this. He'll think I'm getting soft. One of his principles has always been, if you don't understand it, get rid of it. A stitch in time, so to speak, so... stitch this mud up, Phil.
Any Polaroids or trophies?
No, not this time.
Pearl answers her phone.
Yes?
Did your friends make it to town?
Oh, yeah. Last night, baby.
Good. Now, did you tell them it was Porter took their payroll?
I did. And they want retribution.
All right. All right, here's what we do.
Later, Val is waiting on a sidewalk. Porter comes walking toward him.
Oh,
A car hits Porter and he slams against the windshield and falls onto the street. Chinese men get out of the car and walk to him. Pearl is behind them.
Yeah, that's him. That's Porter.
The men throw him onto the hood of a car and hold him down. One man takes out a knife. Val watches as an unmarked police car pulls up. The man puts the knife away.
Next time, Porter.
Quiet. Waiter.
Pearl and the men walk away.
Porter's made some new friends.
The officers from South End Taxi are in the unmarked car. Porter falls to a sitting position on the ground and the officers pull up behind him. They get out of the car.
Easy, mister.
I'm okay. I don't want to press charges.
Who are they, huh, pal?
I don't know. It's all right.
Two guys. Our buddy Stegman says you got a line on a load of cash there, Porter.
$250,000 to be exact.
70.
Man, get off of me. What do you take this for, huh? Idiots? Nobody could throw all this stuff for $70,000.
You don't like trouble, bud. Looked like a whole bunch of trouble to us.
We found a dead girl full of heroin.
No signs of a struggle. And the coroner's not so sure it was an OD.
We got a witness, though. A guy with only one nostril. Remember him? Hey, don't worry, Porter. We're gonna give you immunity.
Room to operate, get a jail free card.
All you gotta do is get the money.
Oh, we can't help you, though.
Be against the law.
You understand, Porter?
It's my money.
Wrong, Porter.
He hits Porter.
It's our money, Porter. Me and my partner's money. He'd be a good boy to give you a piece.
It'll be easy, Porter. You got it?
Yeah, he's good. Understand?
Take it easy, huh? We'll be in touch.
Sure, thanks.
Dope.
Fine.
Crooked cops. Do they come any other way? If I'd been just a little dumber, I could have joined the force myself.
The officers drive away and Porter has one of their badges. Later, he walks stiffly into Rosie's building. Val is watching from a cab. Inside, Rosie has a towel pressed against Porter's head.
Jeez, Porter, you need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
It's gonna sting.
You just clean it up, all right?
You hold it there.
Yeah, right.
She starts to walk away, and the picture of them together falls out of his clothes. She looks at it and holds the towel for him.
Tell me something, Porter. When did you decide to leave? Was it that night we slept together?
No. It was the next day when I had to drive you to work.
Could have asked me to quit.
You could ask me to drive you somewhere.
She throws the towel down and walks away. Downstairs, Val looks at the buzzers for the apartments. One of the buttons has blood on it.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Upstairs, Porter buttons the cuff of a shirt.
Thanks.
Does it fit?
Oh, yeah. Like it was made for me.
It'll look great in your casket.
He looks at her and puts on a leather jacket. She steps close to him.
You know what I think? I think that all those stories about you being dead were true. You're just too thick-headed to admit it.
They inch closer together and kiss. As they kiss, they fall back onto a couch. He pulls away from her.
Stuff to do. I got.
She watches as he walks out with his gun. He hesitates outside her door, then puts his gun in his waistband as he walks down the hallway. Val steps off the elevator in Rosie's building. Rosie answers the door. Val is pointing a gun at her face. He holds his finger up to his mouth.
Where is he? Porter, where is he?
He's in the bedroom.
He grabs her by the hair and walks behind her.
Is he hurt bad?
The doctor should be here anyway.
That's bull.
He opens the bedroom door. He sees movement under the bed covers and pushes Rosie aside.
Porter, here I come, Pally.
The dog jumps out of the bed and onto Val. Val shoots him. Rosie grabs a baseball bat and swings.
Get him!
He throws her down and she drops the bat.
Where is he?
He grabs her wrists and points the gun at her.
I know you. You're that whore from the picture. How do you know him?
He used to drive me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He picks her up by the throat.
I'm driving you now, honey.
You know what you are.
Educated.
Okay. An ugly pig who beats up women. And he can't get it up because he's too terrified of his own freaking shadow.
Is that right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Then I guess you must be the lucky girl.
Porter bursts in and shoots. Val is hit in the shoulder and falls to the floor. Porter steps closer as Val reaches for a gun in an ankle holster. Porter shoots him in the knee. Porter looks at Rosie.
Forgot my cigarettes.
He walks to Val, takes the gun from his ankle, and sits on the couch.
Val, this syndicate, or outfit, or whatever the hell you call it, it's got a good man, right? Who is it?
They'll kill me, Porter.
What do you think I'm gonna do to you? Worry about me.
He steps on his shoulder.
Fairfax and Carter. Fairfax and Carter. They run the whole city. Fairfax and Carter.
Where do I find him?
Fairfax isn't in town right now.
What about Carter? Where's he? Is he in town?
Porter, it won't do you any good. They're gonna... Jeez, you mother...
He steps on his wounded shoulder again.
Freddie Carter Investments, 120 Commerce Avenue.
Thanks.
He takes cigarettes from Val's pocket.
All right. I'll help you out. You're freaking nuts. Went up against the outfit for 70 grand, but I'm gonna help you out.
Yeah? Yeah, keep talking.
He gives Val a cigarette.
Thanks. I can get you in there. Place is tighter than a drum.
How many guys in here?
It's tighter than hell. They got only one guy on the outside, though, so I got a way around that. You are crazy. You are a crazy son of a gun. That's why I love you.
Yeah. You got a light?
Yeah.
You got a light?
No.
Well, then what good are you?
He puts a pillow over Val's face and shoots into it. Then he takes out a lighter and lights a cigarette.
Rosie. Is your name on the lease here?
She shakes her head.
The outfit pays for everything.
I want you to gather everything up that you need. Say goodbye to this place. Okay?
As she walks away, she knocks a decoration off of the shelf. Later, Porter carries the injured dog into Lynn's old apartment.
It's okay, baby. It's okay, puppy.
Hey, Liv, how are you?
She looks at a velvet painting on the wall. He follows her gaze to it.
Yeah, I know. It's not much, but at least you'll be safe. Nobody knows I'm here. Sit down. Relax.
He looks toward the phone. They both sit. He looks at her.
What?
Nobody has this number.
He walks to the phone. And follows the cords that lead from it. One of them leads under the bed and is attached to explosives. He walks to the window.
What?
Porter sees men sitting in a car outside the building. One of them is holding a phone to his ear.
Somebody does know I'm here.
Philip is in the car with two other men. The driver is holding the phone.
Give it a minute.
The driver hangs up. Under the car, the fuel line is cut and gasoline pours out. The men watch the empty window of the apartment.
Okay, let's give him another bell.
The driver picks up the phone and sees Porter smoking a cigarette in the rearview mirror.
He's behind us.
They all turn around. In slow motion, Porter drops his cigarette into the puddle of fuel that has leaked from the car and down the street. Flames flare up and follow the path of gasoline back to the car. The car explodes into flames. And Porter takes out a fresh cigarette.
It's not just anybody that gets a hit put on them by a big firm like the outfit. I was moving up in the world. Maybe it was time to pay him a visit. Carter wouldn't be expecting that. And who knows? I might even get my money back.
It's dark on the city streets. Porter puts coins into a news rack and opens it. He hides a gun under a stack of newspapers. A car pulls up. Instead of hiding it, Porter folds the gun in a paper and walks to the car.
What you up to, buddy?
Well, our money's in there.
The crooked officers are in the car.
If you're still interested.
Well, not in the dough, but the boat I'm gonna buy with.
Stegman is in the back seat.
What's he doing here?
It's a ride-along, Porter. You see, your piece of the pie just got a little smaller. But don't worry, I'll leave you some crust.
What are you waiting for, Porter? Go get it. Go get our money.
You guys do me a favor?
We're here to help, buddy.
Well, they're probably going to frisk me when I go in there, so I wonder if you wouldn't mind holding on to this.
He points the gun at them.
Jeez.
You know, just for a little while.
He spins it around.
Sure, Porter.
One of them takes the gun.
Hey, nice balance.
Porter leaves and walks into a tall building.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I want to see Mr. Carter.
And who are you?
Tell him I'm the guy that whacked Val Resnick.
I'm sorry, I don't... Didn't copy repeat?
The man puts in an earpiece.
Right. Mr. Carter, we'll see you. Turn around so I can frisk you.
Porter turns around. He walks into Carter's office and punches a man inside. Then he punches the man who frisked him. He kicks the first man in the face and takes his gun. Carter sits calmly at his desk.
Bravo. Sit down.
Porter sits.
My compliments. They were two of my best.
Nah, they lull too easy.
He opens his fist and tosses a roll of coins to Carter.
There's something you want from me.
Val Resnick gave you $130,000.
Hate us. It was a debt.
$70,000 of it is mine. I want it back.
I'm sorry. Resnick told me, but I seem to have misplaced your name.
Porter.
Porter, right. I won't forget it again. The outfit is not unreasonable, Porter. But no corporation in the world would agree to what you're asking.
What about Fairfax? Will he give me my money?
Carter smiles.
Resnick told you quite a bit, didn't he? Fairfax will tell you the same thing I have. We're not authorized to do things like this.
Who is? Who makes the decisions?
Well, a committee would make a decision in this case.
No. One man. You go high enough, you always come to one man. Who?
Yes.
A man is working out on a rowing machine.
Mr. Bronson, I have Mr. Carter on the line.
Let him through.
Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Carter, how's business?
Well, business has been pretty good up till now.
Hang on, Carter. Look at that green box, Johnny.
A young man opens the box. He takes out a key.
Are you kidding me? Is it the convertible?
You thought I forgot, didn't you? Having a happy birthday, son.
You kidding me? This car? That Nick
Rick's got us ringside at the championship fight tonight.
It's gonna be a good one.
Dude, my money's on Rankin.
No, I don't think so. I think Hicks is favored.
That's got nothing to do with this, son.
Well, I gotta get going. Thanks.
Happy birthday. Drive safe.
You got it, Dad.
Sorry, Carter, what is it?
I have a problem. There's a man in my office with a gun.
Who says that he's going to kill me if we don't pay him back
$130,000 that one of our lieutenants 70, stole 000. From him.
It's 70. Look, how much is this guy Carter worth to you?
What do you mean?
Well, either I get my money or I'll kill Carter.
Are you threatening me?
I'm not threatening you, I'm threatening Carter. An audacious man. Who are you?
My money, yes or no?
No. Carter?
Carter has a bullet hole in his chest.
Carter? Carter? What's going on there?
You just don't get it, do you, you dumb freak?
Carter, talk to me. Carter?
Call Fairfax and tell him I just croaked Carter. And he's next.
And after that, I'm coming to get you.
He takes Carter's address book.
Are you out of your mind? You just dug your own grave.
He looks up Fairfax's address. Later, he walks back to the car.
I don't see any cash.
They write you a check?
They gave me the runaround. I have to go and see another guy.
Last one, then we got a dead woman, an assault, and all kinds of stuff to talk to you about.
That means more paperwork, Porter. And we don't like paperwork.
Hey, can I have my piece back?
Oh, yeah.
Porter opens a newspaper. The officer dumps the bullets out of Porter's gun and puts it in the fold of the paper.
Nice Roscoe, Porter. Heavy enough to be a nutcracker.
We'll be in touch, Rocky.
Porter holds his hand like a gun and pulls the fake trigger.
Keep up the good work.
He walks away.
Nobody likes a monkey on their back. I had three. And they were cramping my style. I was gonna have to lighten the load.
He goes to Rosie's apartment and, without touching it, he drops the gun on the floor next to Val's body. He wipes the stolen police badge on Val's sleeve and puts it in Val's hand. Later, he meets Rosie in a diner.
Porter? Where have you been?
I've just been taking care of business, you know, evening up the odds a little.
These guys aren't gonna stop until they kill us, are they?
No. I'm sorry. Sorry I got you involved in this.
Why did you? You're a clever guy. You didn't need me. So why did you?
Yeah, you're right. When I came back here with nothing. No life, no hope. You were the only good thing in my life that hadn't been taken from me. I couldn't stay away. I had to see just to make sure I wasn't in hell.
So why don't we get out of here?
You can't.
Why?
Well, you said it. They're not going to stop until they bury us.
So?
So we bury them first.
Later, Porter's driving a limousine. Rosie's dressed up, sitting in the back. He watches her through the rearview mirror, and she catches his gaze.
I should have driven you somewhere else.
Later at the boxing match, Porter is watching the crowd through binoculars. Porter checks his watch and looks up at the scoreboard. It flashes Happy Birthday, Johnny. One of Johnny's friends nudges him and points to the scoreboard. Johnny stands and points to it. Porter notices him with the binoculars. Later, Johnny and his friends are walking out of the arena.
Definitely your nightmare.
Hey, Johnny.
Rosie is standing outside the car in heels and a short dress.
I'm your birthday present.
Who is that?
You.
Oh,
we didn't do it.
We didn't have anything to do with this.
Oh, go.
I mean, she's so fun. Did you?
Oh, my God. Go. Go.
This guy. Dad's really hooking him up, isn't he?
Boy, you are cute, aren't you?
She steps close to him.
You must have some pretty wonderful friends, Johnny. Wealthy, too, because I'm not cheap.
She smiles at his friends.
Don't wait up, boys. I promise he won't be home before midnight.
She pulls him into the limo.
See you, man.
Damn!
In the limo, Rosie rubs his arm. Then puts handcuffs on his wrist.
Relax. Who's the professional here, Johnny? So go with it. I promise you won't regret it. There, baby.
She handcuffs him to a grip above the door. Then she moves to the opposite end of the seat.
Hello.
Porter lowers the divider between the front and back.
Relax, kid. No one will get hurt.
Get hurt? What's he talking about?
A limo pulls in front of a building, and a man gets out.
The thrill is gone, baby.
Good to have you back in town, Mr. Fairfax.
I wish I could say I was glad to be back. I was swimming with the dolphins this morning. Easy, this genuine alligator. For God's sake, what's the matter with you?
Sorry, Mr. Fairfax.
Two men take suitcases from the limo.
Hello, Mr. Fairfax.
How's it going, Charlie?
Stegman is in a cab with the dispatcher.
Porter and Fairfax. I bet that'll be a short conversation.
He notices a car parked nearby.
Well, between us and our neighborhood cops, I'd say we got them pretty well covered, huh?
A man is sitting still in a chair.
Walter, wake up. Walter, wake up!
Porter walks into the hallway.
Keep those bags up, boys. Come on.
Porter's pointing a gun at them.
Who the hell are you?
I'm the reason you're home early, Mr. Fairfax.
You're Porter?
That's it. Keep them up, boys, at shoulder level. Drop them and I'll drill you.
The two men lift the suitcases to shoulder level.
Well, what do you have me do? Stab in my head?
No. I want you to do me a favor. Call Mr. Bronson, see what we can do about getting my money back.
Well, if you let Carter die, but that poor bucktooth probably better off dead anyway. He probably let me die, too.
Now, with Carter, he thought I was bluffing. Try him. You might find him more receptive than you think.
All right.
Fairfax turns to the men holding the suitcases.
You two were fired. Hello? Well, it's like this. I'm standing in my living room, and there's a man here named Porter who says that he expects you to pay him sooner or later. Yes, of course. He wants to talk to you.
Put on a speaker.
The men are struggling to hold the bags up.
This is Porter.
You got guts, Porter. You're proving to be a real pain in the butt. Mosquito.
To get rid of you, I'll swat you with $130,000. It's not a hundred.
He shoots a suitcase.
Hey, what the hell are you doing, man?
Fairfax.
Yes, no, it's all right. He's just killing my alligator bags and shooting holes in my suit. Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.
You people aren't listening. It's not 130.
No, you listen.
I'll get you your money, but you're never going to live to enjoy it.
You let me worry about that. Here's the deal. I want you to deliver the money yourself.
You're one hell of an optimist. What in the world makes you think I'm going to deliver the money myself?
Well, if you don't, you'll never see little Johnny again. Didn't come home from the fight last night, did he? He's a good-looking kid, but I think you indulge him too much. I told him so.
Bullcrap. You haven't got him.
You wouldn't be that stupid.
My dad never bought me a Ferrari. I had to steal my first one. Nice inscription on the keychain.
He looks at the chain.
A little sappy. Want me to read it?
You're dead, Porter.
Nobody fools my family.
You hear me?
You're a dead man.
That's Johnny, Mr. Bronson. Unless you turn up with the money. Is that a yes? What's the matter? Cat got your crotch? Some decisions are hard, Mr. Bronson.
Where?
I'll let you know. I'll be in touch.
You just signed your own death warrant for $130,000. I don't get that. What is it? The principal or something, huh?
Stop it. I'm getting misty. And tell him it's 70, will you?
70? What do you mean it's only 70? It's only 70,000?
The men collapse with the bags.
Well, my suits are worth more than that.
The crooked officers are in a car.
Oh, man. Listen to this. Ocean Ray Sun Dancer. Ice Maker. Camper Canvas. Vacuum Flush Head. $80,000.
Telling you, you ain't gonna have it.
You want to bet?
No, I don't want to bet. Not 150 already.
150 and get me my damn boat. Better come down with something.
Hicks, Leary, we're Holland and Van Owen. Internal affairs.
Hicks and Leary look at each other.
You boys want to back off? We're going to stake out here.
Want to step out of the car, please?
What for?
Think you better step out of the car, detectives.
They get out of the car. Uniformed officers are approaching.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
Is this your badge, detective? The one you reported missing?
The detective looks at the badge.
Yeah, where'd you find it?
Where exactly did you lose it?
Does this belong to you?
He holds up a gun in a plastic bag. Porter walks out of Fairfax's house.
It's Porter. Follow him.
I got that motherfucker.
They follow him. Hey. Porter sees the cab and hails it. The cab stops. He opens the door and Stegman's pointing a gun at him.
Get in, Porter.
Porter gets in.
Close the door. Now set the Roscoe on the floor.
Porter reaches behind him.
Slow.
He puts his gun on the floor.
See, I am going to turn you into the outfit for a reward. And maybe they'll be so impressed that they'll ask me to join, and I'll be on Easy Street. Medical, dental, I'm gonna walk you right in. Porter on the hoof. Unless you get rambunctious. Then I'll just have to take care of you myself.
Porter grabs the gun from him.
You're not gonna friggin' kill me, are you?
Porter slams his head against the inside of the cab.
Let him go!
The dispatcher points a gun at Porter.
No.
Pearl and the Chinese man pull up.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
They shoot, and Porter shields himself with Stegman, then crawls out of the car. He fires two guns through the back windshield. The Chinese back up, and Porter grabs onto the back bumper. They back into a pallet full of boxes. A shot comes through the front seat between one of the men's legs. The Chinese men fire through the floorboard, and Porter fires up from underneath the car. One man gets out of the car, and Porter rolls out from underneath and shoots him. He gets up, and Pearl aims at his head. She pulls the trigger, but her gun is empty. Porter aims at her, and she puts her gun down. She smiles, and he pulls the trigger. Two men come from behind and hit him over the head.
Hey, who are you? What are you doing? Hey, fat boy!
One of the men looks at her.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
He punches her in the face, then looks down and squeezes the skin around his middle. The men put Porter in a car. And Pearl watches them drive away. She wipes the blood from her face and sucks it off her finger. Later, a man is beating Porter.
Stop it. I hate it.
Fairfax turns to Porter.
Look at this stinking place, Mike. Porter, what's the matter with you? Just tell us where he is so we can take a lot of here, huh? Come on.
Porter spits blood. A car pulls up.
Too late now.
Bronson and another man get out of the car.
He doesn't want to say anything. He just wants to get himself beat up, that's all.
Bronson approaches Porter.
Here it is. $130,000.
Porter shakes his head.
That's as close as you're ever going to get to it. But I'll make you a deal. Tell me where John is and I'll finish you quick.
I promise you won't have to find out what your left ear tastes like.
But if there's even a bruise on him, I'll make this last 3 weeks. I'll give you a blood transfusion to keep you alive if I have to.
Where is he?
Porter looks down and shakes his head. A man approaches, but Bronson stops him. The man is carrying a hammer, and he crouches down next to Porter's bare feet.
I'm waiting.
This little piggy went to the market.
Bronson nods, and the man raises the hammer.
Okay. 24. 24 Fielding. Apartment 11. You'll understand if I don't entirely trust you.
Put him in the trunk. We'll take him along.
Later, a car pulls in front of a building. The men get out of the car and go into the building. They leave Porter in the trunk.
Ah,
Porter struggles to get his hands and feet untied. Rosie looks at her watch.
Come on, Porter.
Johnny is handcuffed to a radiator. Porter the dog growls at Johnny. Porter unties his hands using his mouth. With a tire iron, he starts to pry open the trunk. He pokes a hole through the back seat and tears it wider with his hands. Rosie is pacing as Johnny watches. Bronson and his men are walking through the hallway. Porter squeezes through the hole in the back seat, reaches for the car phone, and dials. Bronson and his men kick in the apartment door. They look around Lynn's empty apartment and Bronson goes to the phone.
What the hell's going on?
You were right not to trust me.
The explosives under the bed start to spark. The apartment blows up and glass and debris rain down on the street below. Porter climbs into the driver's seat and pulls away from the flaming building. Rosie runs to the window. Porter is outside honking the horn.
Come on, Porter.
Hey.
It's been fun. See you later, kid.
Hey! Come back here! What about me?
She leaves.
Come on, Porter. So, what took you so long?
Hi, Rosie.
Come on. Come on, Porter. Come on. Get in there. Good boy.
She puts the dog in the car, then gets behind the wheel and sees Porter's bloody face.
Oh, my God, what happened to you?
I got hammered.
You okay?
Yeah.
He smiles and looks down at a black case. She opens it, sees the money, and smiles.
You got it.
Piece of cake.
Where to?
Just drive, baby. We were going for breakfast. In Canada. We made a deal. If she'd stop hooking, I'd stop shooting people. Maybe we were aiming high.
Narrative script written by Beth.